Ramadan is the holy sacred month for Muslims, and this is the month where, you know, according to Muslim faith, where the revelation of Quran started, and that is called the Laylatul Qadr, the most important night of the Ramadan month. Usually it's considered the 27th of the month of Ramadan. During that month, Muslims are supposed to, you know, are called to fast. What does it mean? And during 30 days, Muslims who are, you know, adults, not sick, and, you know, who are capable to do that, not too old, not just, you know, kids under 15 years old, they're exempted for that. I mean, adult and healthy Muslims are called to do this fasting. That means they quit eating, drinking, smoking, and sexual intercourse before dawn, and, you know, they keep this fasting until dusk, kind of, we say, until sunset. And during the day, not only eating, drinking, that's just, you know, abstinence from eating, drinking, and this smoking, sexual intercourse. But also during 30 days, Muslims are much more, you know, involving with spiritual exercises, activities, like recitation of Quran, especially to commemorate the start of revelation of Quran, the holy book for Muslims, and also reflecting on that, reading exegesis of the book. And also, the more important thing is a very important social dimension of Ramadan, meaning that in the Islamic tradition, you know, all the good deeds are much more appreciated by God, multiplied the rewards of, you know, good deeds within this month. Therefore, Muslims, usually there is this, you know, obligatory almsgiving, and within the Islamic tradition, and 1 year past, you have to, you know, give away at least the 2.5% of your wealth. And usually Muslims are tending to do this type of charities during this month. Not only, but also, you know, people are much more, why are they becoming much more sensitive about people who are in need, poor people, sick people, just because, you know, during the day, since you are not eating and drinking, and you feel, you know, especially your weak side, and that you cannot really, you know, move very quickly during the day, so you can really understand and establish an empathy, especially with people, you know, less fortunate people who are not really able to reach, you know, enough goods and services for a decent life.
Can I ask you why Ramadan begins at different points across the world? We know that, for example, in the Arab world, it begins tonight, if I'm not mistaken, but it's not the case, for example, in Indonesia. Can you explain this to us?
Actually, Ramadan starts with an important, you know, moment. This is like observation of the crescent. The Ramadan, like the whole Islamic calendar, is organized according to the lunar system, and this is the observance of the moon. Muslims, you know, according to the tradition, that was the, of course the habit of the Prophet Muhammad. Muslims are supposed to, you know, when just a month before the lunar month, before Ramadan, in the Shaban, is about to finish. It means it's, you know, 28th and 9th nights. Muslims are just starting, you know, observing the skies, whether the new crescent of Ramadan already appearing. The thing is, you know, since these countries are located of different parts of the planet, and, you know, if you have, you know, good weather, you know, if you just, you know, there's some foggy weather that moment, the possibility that you cannot really, you know, observe the crescent. So, you know, it can be different now. For instance, in the southern hemisphere of the world, you know, there's winter here, you know, there's summer. Also, it depends, you know, how could you, you know, exactly see the crescent. But from, again, another Islamic perspective, if, you know, a Muslim already, you know, inform you, even from a different part of the world, saying that I have already observed the crescent, then the, you know, tradition suggests that you can also, you know, follow this information and start fasting Ramadan. But this is like just, you know, the I'm in Islam in that sense, you know, appreciating the diversity within the community. So whoever just, you know, observes the, you know, crescent, that so that he can just, he or she can start fasting.
Is it also a time for unity among the community? As you pointed out, there, of course, are different strands of Islam. So is this also an opportunity this month for the Muslim community to come together and to really experience the faith together?
Exactly. This is a really very important point, just because, you know, every day we call it like it's just, you know, fast breaking. Every evening you have those dinners called iftar, in which traditionally, you know, neighbors and, you know, relatives and even people you don't know, but, you know, just in passing by, and people from different traditions and religions, of course, are much more welcome and invited. This is also one of the important pillars of the month of Ramadan, that you, you know, transform actually your table, I mean, your offerings like into a table of Abraham. That is a tradition, trying to, you know, revival again the Abrahamic hospitality, inviting everybody else, you know, to your table and share your bread. And furthermore, in every night in Ramadan, there is a special prayer, and that is much more suggested to the community. After the iftar dinner, okay, then just you have like much more, one, you know, like 90 minutes pass. Then the time of the fifth prayer of the Muslims, you know, are supposed to pray five times a day. And that's the fifth prayer, and just before go to before just finishing the day, that prayer now transformed into a larger prayer. Normally it is 13 units, specifically for Ramadan, it transforms into a 33 units, you know, prayer. Usually it takes 1 hour, but, you know, in some other occasions, people are planning themselves accordingly so that they can recite the whole Quran within 30 days. So then this prayer of 33 units can also last more than 2 hours. But that is, again, another important pillar of being in community. The last moment of community, I will say, that is a special, very early breakfast that you are supposed to do before dawn. And in that breakfast, even though it's, you know, kind of a mid of night now, for instance, here I'm talking about, you know, the Italian hour, for instance, in Rome, you know, you are supposed to do this light breakfast at 3 o'clock in the morning. And here also you can see another part of the, you know, union and community. Even, you know, you can, you know, witness that, you know, relatives are inviting each other also to share this moment of convivial experience.
Mustafa, you are originally from Turkey, a Muslim-majority country. How difficult is observing this month for Muslims who find themselves in a country where they are a minority, first of all? And secondly, on a very personal level, how difficult is it for you, a month of fasting, prayer, almsgiving, similar somewhat to our Lent?
Actually, yeah, in Turkey, the experience of Ramadan is quite high, you know, within Muslim countries. Around 80% of Turkish people are trying to experience Ramadan and trying to practice Ramadan. But of course, there's a difference that you are being, you know, in a Muslim society, that you are practicing Ramadan, or, you know, practicing Ramadan in a Christian society. But I will say, like being in a Christian society, I see also lots of different parts of Ramadan. For instance, here, yeah, there are some difficulties, especially, for instance, in Turkey and Istanbul, you have this tradition, for instance, before the fast breaking, you are kind of, you know, expecting that the muezzin, who is making the, you know, call for prayer, starts doing his azan. That's the, you know, call for prayer. That's just like the sign, like a, you know, church bell, you know, for prayer for a mass. That's a, you know, sign to call not only this time for prayer, but, you know, it's also an important sign for the fast breaking. Here we don't have that, but, you know, the thing is, here I have discovered another part of the fasting that I can just, you know, share this moment with different friends coming from, you know, different traditions. I remember very well, they're very fond memories here. For instance, I have been invited by different Catholic and Christian and Jewish friends for iftar dinners. And I, you know, try to also invite them as my institution is Totevere, we organize, and this year we are organizing again a series of iftar dinners in which we are also experiencing this witness that we just, you know, kind of learn each other's experience. As I have remember very well when I've been to several times to a Benedictine monastery in Norcia during Lent, especially my experience with Triduum, and I tried to fast with the Benedictine monks on Good Friday. And then just here, our Christian friends are kindly, you know, inviting us, or sometimes also, you know, coming to our iftar dinners. We can just exchange this moment of, you know, peace and interreligious exchange.
It's interreligious dialogue in action, really, these moments of encounter, aren't they?
Yeah, I hope so.